We're going to turn the service to Brother Price and Sister Price and Sister Becton. We'll have to do something about that name Becton, won't we, Mark? Amen. Say God bless the Price. Why don't we lift our hands? Just thank God for His goodness. Would you do that with me from your heart? God, we love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. 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 You may be seated. Don't ever be in this church so long, or in God's church so long, until you forget you were once lost. Don't ever have the Holy Ghost so long until it seems like that was another life and another person. Every one of us were born without God. We had to come to a point where we cried out, I need you. And I've just got a feeling, and I think I have more than a feeling, but there's something, if I didn't have scriptures to back me, I've got a feeling that every now and then, don't put a time on it, but every now and then, we all need to come to a point where we just stop and say, God, all over again, I need you, God. I thank you for Brother Hankins all the years, the multitude of years, but I still need you. Hallelujah. And that cry that reaches out. The other, here a while back, Brother Wade in our church, who's had the Holy Ghost over 60 years, and all of a sudden during a service, Brother Wade, who's he's in his 80s now in very just remarkable condition, health. He just took out on his own and just started reaching out to God. And needless to say, watching him just broke all of us up. But there was something that was reaching to me, knowing how long he's had the Holy Ghost, and yet that need is still there. God, help me as the years roll on to always come to a place where I can say, I still need you. What's happening in this service tonight and what God wants to do for us isn't for someone else, it's for us. Hallelujah. And let it reach us and let it touch us. It's when we just become no more than just a sounding board for I heard what's happening, the song or the word or whatever, but it just bounces off and reaches for another. At that point, I'm on dangerous ground. Hallelujah. But keep it fresh and alive. Thank the Lord. And I feel that. That tonight, I appreciate the Spirit. There's definitely something that is at work in this place tonight. No question about it, no doubt about it. And we ought to be familiar with it enough to say, God, have your way. God, just have your way in our hearts and lives. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord tonight. We had a choir that sang at our church this afternoon. And blessed us and is all just very, very good. Came and visited with us. And as we walked into the service here tonight, I just really, and I guess I have every night, every time that we've had this privilege of coming, I want God to talk to us tonight. I want Him to move on us in whatever measure or manner that He wants. But Brother Howard mentioned it, receiving the Holy Ghost is up to an individual. Receiving what God has to say is up to an individual. Receiving the blessing that God has for us tonight, it's up to you. God could hold an untold amount of wealth for any one of us here spiritually tonight. But I could walk out of that door a starving individual, even though I may have known God in times past. I could leave and saying there's such a longing in my heart. But I promise you, the satisfier's here tonight. Hallelujah. And He'll give us what we need. Worship God.
When I am in need of a friend to sit close by my side, when there's no place to go to escape from the problems of life, you are forsaking and love no one else can supply. Ooh. there are times when nothing seems to go right. You've always been there to help me get through the night. Oh, whatever I needed, you were right there to provide. Ooh, Jesus, you satisfy. You satisfy my every longing desire. Tears away from my eyes when I cry. You give me hope and joy and peace for my life. Ooh, Jesus, you satisfy.
Moment tonight, if you would please. I have, again, I will say, enjoyed this opportunity. I'm glad that things worked the way that they were able to work, that we were have been privileged to come. Much as I'm enjoying it, I hope that we get our church built pretty soon. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel something here.
Hallelujah.
And I want to let... Hallelujah. Do we know the chorus? I don't even know if we know it. I've been thinking about it all day. It's just peace, peace, wonderful peace. Would you sing that with us tonight before we enter into the Word of the Lord? Just sing and reach out to God if you would, please. Hallelujah.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, with heaven-blood fills of love. Oh, there is peace. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above.
Well,
sweep over my spirit forever, I pray.
Thank you, God.
Is there
more time singing, and if you need a touch of God, raise a hand as you sing. Thank you, God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'll be reading tonight from 1 Samuel, the 11th chapter. I'd like to begin with the 4th verse, if you would care to follow along. 1 Samuel chapter 11, beginning with verse 4. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 4, if you would care to follow. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, "What aileth the people that they weep?" And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was greatly kindled. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, "Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. Then verse 9, "And they said unto the messengers that came, Thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help." And the messengers came and answered it to the men of Jabesh. And the scripture said, "And they were glad." Hallelujah.
Amen. All right.
Let's talk tonight about beyond weeping. Beyond weeping. It isn't difficult for me at all to spend any time during the day driving through our town, our city, and thinking of numbers of people that I know that it would definitely be in God's plan to have them in the church. Souls that we've prayed for over the 13 years that we've been there. Souls that some who have turned their back on God, and yet it looks as though God is still definitely reaching toward them. There's some instances of some situations that's going on right now in some lives that has me puzzled. And I've questioned many times, like I guess most pastors would, when I see some that are not there, or some that are not coming to an altar, or some that may attend and they refuse to live for God, the thought many times has crossed my mind, what am I doing wrong? I've gone home at times after preaching what I felt definitely led of God to preach, and thank God, could have I preached something else? I've spent time in prayer, and I've wondered, and I've questioned, and I've beaten myself, and I've almost brought harm to myself, wondering, God, what more can I do? Now, the thought crossed my mind many times. That's it. There's no more. And in one sense, the Word of God is it. That's the epitome. If the Word of God cannot reach, nothing's going to reach. I think I even mentioned that the other night that I was here. But still, there's something that burns and something that churns within me that says, surely we do not have to just stand by and allow some of these to go to hell. And surely there's something that as a child, not a pastor now, but as a child of God, certainly there's something I can do that can change the course of their history or their future rather. Surely there's something that God is able to work in our lives. And I was praying and thinking on this, and it seemed like God laid this passage of Scripture, and it encouraged me and strengthened me and showed me some things. It was a city called Jabesh-Gilead that had been besieged by the Ammonites. I do a lot of preaching. Sometimes it worries me. And Johnny, I preach a lot about the enemy. And I get to think, God, I think they've heard enough about the enemy. But you know, about the time I think I've preached all I need to about that lying enemy, someone lets the enemy sneak up on them, and they're being whipped. And I'm thinking, I should have preached about the enemy. And so here it is, the enemy, the Ammonites, people that were anti-God. They besieged the city of Jabesh-Gilead. As the encounter ensued, the men of Jabesh knew that there was absolutely nothing that they could do to defend themselves. Let me take, and I'm going to just follow exactly how I feel in this tonight. But understand, when you are praying, you're concerned, you're reaching for a soul, even though it may look as though they are miles and miles away from the house of God, there needs to be an understanding on the church's heart or in the mind of the church that although it looks impossible, first of all, I have to stand and testify to the fact there isn't anything that's too difficult for God. That means the soul that is the farthest from the church, God can reach them. That has to be in my mind. There has to be a continual thought that reaches out to me. God can. God can. God's able to reach them. They can't be saved. God can touch that life. That has to be on my part. But then also there needs to be something that is very sensitive in us. We have to be able to hear. We have to be able to feel that many times the one that is away from God, the reason they are away, because they have the feeling there isn't anything I can do for myself. And there's no telling the number of people that have made the statement privately, if not publicly, I've done so much, God could never reach me now, and I have failed him so miserably, there's probably no chance of my ever coming to God. So you see, the enemy not only besieges the town or besieging their lives, but that lying devil also convinces them at how hopeless and how helpless their situation is. And of all the people on the face of this earth that needs to understand there is help, it's you and I. Of everybody that ought to have a heart that cries out, there is help, it's you and I. Of any person that should ever feel the enemy will not win in that life, it's you and I. Hallelujah. So these men in themselves, they thought there isn't anything we can do. So the men of Jabesh went to the Ammonites, sent messengers, and here's what they did. They said, we want to make a covenant with you. We want to serve you. You let us live, and we'll serve you. And, you know, as far as they're thinking, and that's better when you consider the alternative, when you consider what will happen. And so they concocted this in their mind, and they thought this would solve it all. And that's what a lot of people have done.
Amen.
Y'all, stay with me tonight. God's in this place. That's what a lot of people have done. They have tried to make a covenant with this world. And when you make a covenant with this world, you make a covenant with the prince of this world. And when you make a covenant with the prince of this world, your destiny is in his hand. And your future is all up to him. So what ends up happening here, they cry out, we want to make a covenant. And Nahash, the captain, the one that was over the army of the Ammonites, the captain said, on one condition, we'll make a covenant with you. And the condition is this, that I may thrust out all the right eyes of the people of Jabesh-Gilead. Now that sounds, I read that, Brother Grover, I read that in this scripture, and that is beyond my ability to even comprehend. That anyone could be so cruel, and that anyone could even think to hurt and maim another human being like that. But that's exactly what was done. But there's another line in that. The reason they wanted to do this, Nahash said that we can lay it for reproach upon all of Israel. In other words, anyone that sees a person of Jabesh-Gilead, the right eye will be plucked out, and it'll, for all ages, it'll be a slap to Israel that their God could not help them, and no one could send deliverance to them. Hallelujah. Don't you ever forget the fact Satan directs all of his attacks at the church. He directs every one of his attacks at the church. You hear me tonight. If you fail God and you're in this place tonight, it is not a reproach on you. It's a reproach on God and the people of God that something was not sufficient enough to keep you and sustain you and hold you. And so this is the direction that it all goes. If he can bring a reproach against the church, he's won a battle. He's won a victory. And that is the purpose of it. Word was sent out. The men of Jabesh said, you give us a day. You let us send out to seek if we could get any help. I wonder how many people are in that condition tonight on a Sunday night that knows what's going on in the house of God. I wonder if there's anyone that's their heart is yearning. Their heart is troubled. I know what's going on, and I know what I ought to be doing, and I know where I ought to be. Maybe there's someone that's speaking out, I'm looking for help. Maybe you got to stop thinking that they don't want to live this. You've got to get it out of your mind that they're all happy and they're satisfied where they're at. I have to understand this world is in a miserable condition. They are not satisfied. In fact, the only satisfaction is what is found in the house of God. You believe that, and I believe that, and we understand that. But yet so often we're willing to fold our arms to the fact they probably are not really interested. And they're probably happy where they're at. Oh no, until they know what I found in Him, they will never know satisfaction and there will never be happiness. You see, you sing in your songs, choir. Sometimes you feel like we're singing to the same people. I know we feel that way at home. Sometimes it seems like it's just us. Keep on singing. Keep on preaching. Even if it is just us. Because we're singing. Every song we sing is really reaching to those that aren't even here. Every message we preach is a testimony. We believe what this Word of God stands for. And someday, I believe that all the songs that we've sung and all the messages we preached and all the worship that we've offered up, I believe that someday it's all going to come back to us in great rewards and great dividends.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So they said, let us look and let us see if we can find any help. So they sent messengers unto Saul in Gibeah. They told, I read in verse 4, said the messengers came and they told the tidings to the ears of the people. They told them, we are in a bad situation. And the only way we can live is if tomorrow we've got to submit to their cruelty and they're going to poke out our right eyes, and they're going to lay it for reproach against all of Israel. And when they told that, verse 4 said that the people, when they heard it, all the people in Gibeah lifted up their voices in great lamentations, and they began to weep, and they sobbed, and they cried. Now, whether they were thinking of the reproach or whether they were thinking of the situation the people were in, but it upset them to think that this was going to be done. But hear me, not one person shouted out, "Let's get an army and let's go defend these people." Not one person said, "Let's do what we can do to help them." All they were willing to do was just weep. All that they were satisfied to do was, "Let's cry." Nobody moved to help Jabesh. And then you find Saul coming from the field. He heard the people crying. And as he entered into the camp or into the city, he said, "What's wrong with all the people?" Someone came up with tears running down their face, just sobbing and crying uncontrollably. Said, "Saul, you don't know what a tragedy has befallen our brother in Jabesh. You don't know what's about to happen to them. Oh, Saul, it's terrible." They told it to Saul. And this man, you can think what you want to about Saul later in his life, but there was a point in the beginning of his life he knew God. There was a point at the beginning that it said God's anointing was upon him, and Saul knew what it was to walk with God. When the word was given to Saul and all the multitude crying and just weeping without control, the scripture said, when Saul heard it, verse 6 said, "And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was greatly kindled." There is not one word mentioned that Saul shed one tear for those people. Not one moan came out of Saul's lungs. Not one sound that said, "Oh, woe is me." But what you find instead, you find an anointed king that says, "We need an anointed God." You find a king that says, "I feel something from God, and something's telling me we've got to do more than just cry about the situation. We've got to do more than just shed a few tears about what's going on at this present time." Hallelujah. He didn't make a big show. He didn't go around throwing a tantrum saying, "That just aggravates me." He didn't try to go around in his you know, just for what I'm saying is, it wasn't a show. You know, a lot of times people, they can say one thing, and here it comes. They can say one thing on a Sunday night service about what all they want from God and what they want to do for God and what they want God to do for them. And when the clock rolls around, it's time to go home, the show's over. And then we're wondering what's happening. Friend, of all the things you can do in this life, don't you ever play games with God. Amen. Don't you ever play games with trying to tell God or lead God or in some soul to God. What you tell God you're going to do, you do it. What you feel to do from God, you do it. The reason Saul did what he felt to do, the Spirit of God came upon him. I stand in the presence of a congregation tonight that you have felt the Spirit of God. You know what it is for God to live in you. And there are times in your walk with God that you have without a doubt felt that God said, "You need to do so and so with your life. You need to do this as far as my worship to God." And when God moves on us, it's time to do more than just sit back and say, "I wish something would happen." It's time to get up and act on it and move with it and flow with it. So here comes Saul. He's fighting a lion devil. He's fighting a demoniac spirit. He's fighting an enemy that is cruel, that is a liar. He's fighting a deceitful adversary. So what does Saul do? He takes an innocent yoke of oxen and he cuts them into pieces. What did those oxen do? It just happened to be what was there. It's all it, you know. He didn't cry, but there's a hurt. There can be something that just isn't right in here. Not meaning that I'm away from God. I'm saying I come and I get excited and I worship and all thank God for the church, but something in here says I've got to do more. Something in here says, God, surely I don't have to let them be abused for eternity. Surely, God, there's a way I can reach that individual. Certainly something can be done. So what Saul does, he said, I can't just sit here and cry, but I have to show all of Israel I mean business. And so throughout all the nation of Israel, bloody parts of those oxen were taken by messengers with a message from the king. This is what's going to happen to your oxen unless you come. We've got to fight. We need an army. We need to do something. We need to get busy. We need to allow our minds to be geared, come away from self. It would be very easy to stand back and say, well, with that great army of the Ammonites, let Jabez fight their own battle. You know, here I am in the house of God with my hands raised, loving God. It would be very easy for me to say, let those people take care of themselves. But you hear me tonight, you better worship for those people. You better lift your hands for those people. You better lift your voice in prayer to reach those people. You better be the one that sings a little bit louder. Sing the song for that person. You are going to have to do more than just saying, you know, I wish good old, do we have any Bobs? But good old Bob would come to church. I wish good old Susie Q would come to church. I wish this and I wish that. And oh my, wouldn't it be nice? We've got to come to a point. We are going to do more than just wish them in. We're going to do more than just sit back and think about them. And we're going to do more than just simply sit back and just cry them in. I have got to muster within myself an army within me. I am part of that army of God. I have got to muster together an army. Slaying these oxen sounds like you're taking drastic measures. I am taking drastic measures, Saul said. I'm going to do whatever's in my power to defend not just the men of Jabez, but I'm going to defend the name of the Lord. I'm going to defend God's people. I am not here tonight to worship just because I feel it's my obligation. And I'm not here for a show tonight, but I'm here because the name needs to be defended. There's somebody that says the name is worth all to me. And if the world refuses to worship Him and honor the name, I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to love Him. If the world closes their mouth to Him, I'm still going to find myself saying, all hail the power of Jesus' name. And I will. If no one else does, I'm going to. If everyone else feels to just cry about it and wish revival in, you're never going to wish a revival into a church. You're never going to wish one person at an altar. But I promise you, if we will allow ourselves to come together as an army, I promise you, the adversary can't stand against us. He cannot stand against us. The cruelty of hell is about to be unleashed on mankind. Hell doesn't care about your pain and your misery. Doesn't care about your broken homes, ruined lives. I had a lady that came to our church, it's been several years ago, one Sunday morning. This lady at one time had known God. She made a terrible mess out of her life. Terrible mess. I knew the situation. I knew the problem. I knew what she was living down. But she came one Sunday morning, sat in the back of the church, and the Spirit of God moved in that service in such a beautiful way. I don't make it a point. In fact, this is one of one or two times that I've ever done this in my life. But I went back to her. I saw her as she was just shaking and quaking under the Spirit of God. And she was holding on to the pew, and literally her hands were white. She was just clenching it and just shaking so terribly. And I went back to talk to her. I said, "Marie, please come pray." She wouldn't talk to me. She couldn't talk. She was broken. Her face was streaked with all that was on it. She just was crying and sobbing. I said, "Marie, when God's speaking to you like He's trying to talk to you this morning, you better obey God." Amen. She finally looked up at me and couldn't even hardly get the words out. She said, "Brother Price, I've crossed too many bridges, and I've burned them, and there's not any way I can go back. I've made such a mess of my life. I can't go back. I can't. If I could, I would, but I can't." And all of my pleading with her was to no avail. She walked out of that service with the Spirit of God reaching for her, but in her mind, she was looking at her past and saying, "I can't. Hell is a liar. The devil is a liar. There are souls around us tonight. I will promise you that this street on Commerce, there have been souls that have driven past this church and that said, 'I'd like to be back. I'd like to be there.' But a lying devil has cried out, 'You've done too much. You've failed too miserably. And there's no way you can now.' And the only recourse the church has from within the sanctuary, there needs to be praises, and there needs to be songs that reach out and counteract the cry of a lying devil." Hallelujah. I don't know about anybody else. I cannot answer for anyone else in their walk with God. I just absolutely, I wish that I knew how people feel. But I, for one, I've made my heart, I've done everything that I possibly know to do. I am not going to give up on souls. Amen. I am not going to give up on souls. I am not going to say it looks as though there isn't anything that can be done. There isn't any. You know, it's a reproach to me. I say a reproach. That may be a little harsh. But it comes against the church, it seems to me. If there are people that are in our church and we let them just come to church and enjoy what's going on and something fails to reach them and they live their life and they die and they go to hell. I mean, just right here with an altar that is there available for anybody to pray, with a church that would love to wrap their arms around them, with the God that has come service after service to reach them. There seems to me that there's something that is wrong when we fail to reach them. And when all eternity starts and the judge is judging, and that individual who knew what it was, they have to depart and they have to leave, and the master has to say, "I didn't even know you." That seems to me like there's something that ought to be done that'll change that. And something ought to be done. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm starting a new attitude in my outlook on souls. I'm trying to come to church, and I've come many a services praying by myself first before I even start to thank God for anything. I start out saying, "Satan, you're a liar. You're no good. You're going to burn in hell. And I refuse to listen to you tonight. Whatever you try to peddle in that service, I'm not going to listen." And once I get that out of my mind and get him in the clear, then I start in, "God, I'm going to help that soul. God, I'm going to reach that soul. God, they can be saved. God, we can do something. We don't have to just sit back and let them go to hell. We, our hands are tied." No, they're not tied. No, they are not tied. If it takes drastic measures, then let's be willing to
do drastic measures. If it takes something that looks as though, wow, how could Saul cut a team of oxen? What a, I can't believe that. Because the situation demanded drastic measures. And he said, I mean business. So what Saul has done, Saul simply said, instead of crying, Saul said, we're going to fight. Everybody else crying, Saul saying, we're going to get an army. Everyone else over there weeping, Saul said, you will come. And we are going to battle. And this isn't for me, and it's not for them, or it's not even for us. It's for the name. When you walk in as a child of God, and you come into this service, what happens or fails to happen in this service? It either happens for the name, or it fails to happen, and we have failed the name. There's a work that needs to be done here. Esther, during the time of her being the queen, during the time when shortly after Haman was hanged on the gallows, the proclamation that was sent out that declared that all the Jews on a particular day were to be killed. There's a verse of scripture that I read and preached a sermon from, I guess, 15 years ago in the 8th chapter of Esther, the 6th verse. With all of this happening, Esther, Haman was dead, so Mordecai was released from that fear. And the property of Haman was given to Mordecai. And it looked as though everything was great. It looked as though, my, look at what's happening. God's blessed us. And so the word came in, and here it is now. Esther, why don't you quit praying? It's time to quit fasting. It's time to lift your head up. But there's a little statement that Esther made that I have read literally thousands of times as I've come to church. Everything's good in my life. I don't have enough problems, and I haven't had enough problems to merit even talking about. Oh, there's been some dark days, but God has always been the light at the end of the day. But here I look at what happened to Esther, and Esther said when they were trying to get her to rejoice, Esther said, how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? What she was saying, how can I rejoice when I know what's going to happen to these people that are my kindred? How can I shout? And how can I sing? And how can I laugh when I see the tragedy, the death, the tomorrow that's coming their way? In church, there needs to be a time that sweeps over us. It's more than whether I shouted or didn't shout, or what I felt or did not feel in that service. But there needs to be the cry in my heart, I'm going to do something. What you going to do? I don't know, but I'm going to do something. I refuse to just sit back and let some good people, some friends of mine, some acquaintance of mine, be lost and spend eternity in a sinner's hell when here I am on the ark of safety and God's given me the right as well as the privilege to go after them. I am going to do what I can do. We need to go beyond weeping. Stand with me, please. Weeping alone isn't going to save them from hell. There had to be an army mustered together. An army denotes there had to be fighting. Saul said, we're willing to fight. There's struggles. This walk with God, we've got enough scriptures that talk about the struggles we go through. And the Word of God declares that the gates of hell cannot stop us. We have access to what we really want. Some of the problem sometimes is we're satisfied with what we have. Let's get an army together. An army of two or three saints of God that's going to say, we're going to bind together. We're going to get victory. Get rid of this word, try. We're going to try and see what happens. Huh? We're going to make it happen. We're going to go for God. We're going to reach for God. We're not going to win them all. But I'm not going to let hell lie to me and tell me I can't reach any of them. Sure, there's going to be some that's going to slam their door in my face and they're going to say, leave me alone. But if there's just one that'll say, I'm willing. The Jehovah's Witness has a philosophy. We've all been plagued by them. Their attitude is, If we can win one out of 1,000 we talk to, we feel like we've been successful. I may talk to two or three people and get two or three no's, and I'm coming back to church saying nobody wants to live for God nowadays. That's not true. You wanted to find God. Brother Howard said it tonight. At 30 years of age, there was something gnawing at him. He wanted to find God. And I could go down the list of some of you that I know. You came to that point. I was at that place. And there's others around here at the same place. The thing of it is, I've got to get stirred for them. They don't know to get stirred for themselves. So stir me for them, God. They don't know how to fight. So let me fight for them, God. We can through the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing tonight.
Oh, I commend you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to pick up your weapons and flee.
Wherever
God has given me authority to walk all over thee. Oh, I commend you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to pick up your weapons and flee. For God has given me authority to walk all over thee.
You know, I'd like to do tonight, I think it would be all right, Brother Rutledge, I'd like to sing this again. And first of all, if there's a wife in this church and your husband is not saved, and you'd like to see him saved, I don't mean you're just willing to cry for him, you're willing to fight for him. Big difference. Big difference. Boy, I tell you, you know, I'm glad, I'd hate to be in a battle and have someone standing beside me with a weapon. And man, I just wish that I could shoot and they never would pull the trigger. Brother James, I want somebody that's willing to help me fight if they're coming in. Don't just cry for them, but if you're in this church and you have a husband that's not saved and you're willing to say, God, show me what I can do to help fight. You have a wife that may not be saved, or if you have children that are not saved, first of all, I'd like those three categories. As we sing this again, I'd like you to come. And then as we sing it the next time, if you have friends or family that you're saying, now what you're saying is, God, show me what I've got to do. God, show me what I can do. God, don't let me just sit back and watch them die. I'm going to do whatever I can. And then you're willing to fight. Would you come as we sing it? Hallelujah.
I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to pick up your weapons and flee.
Oh, thank God.
For God has given me authority
to walk all over thee. Hallelujah.
I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord,
to take the fight for them. Well, God
has given
me to walk all over the sea. Let's all
commit
you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to pick up your weapon.
God has given me authority to walk. Joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy.